Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
We're making an ad.
Napping ad.
This is where I think if we're doing it right, Alec Baldwin comes in. He says a couple things. Mm-hmm. He listens to the podcast every week. Yep. Has he been canceled? Was Alec Baldwin the one who killed somebody? I hear that Gary Sinise is free.
Oh, okay, great.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
So, what would be the script that we would have Gary Sinise say for the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast?
Listen to this damn show. Damn it.
The Napping Through Happy Hour podcast brought to you by Geekscape.
Real life, real drama, real time.
I'm Gary Sinise.
That's the ad. That's the ad. That's the ad.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we are talking about The Fog. Scott, I gotta tell you, 2022 so far is absolutely shaping up to be the year of, we didn't do that yet. Fun fact, The Fog was the very first Reddit Horror Club movie.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Embarrassingly, probably the last time I watched The Fog. I feel like The Fog is, for me anyway, one of those movies that I never am like, man, I should put on The Fog. But the second I put on The Fog, I'm glad I did, is kind of my thing with this movie. But Scott, why did you pick this besides what I would say the obvious first line of the movie?
Yeah, that's why. So originally I was going to pick this for like late March, I want to say, because I was like, oh, The Fog, it's like early spring. It's mid-spring. So I looked at the schedule and I start watching it and he's like, it was April 21st, 100 years ago. I'm like, shit. And so I look and I'm like, okay, well, this is close enough. So I went back and changed it around.
It was only, you only happened to change it around maybe an hour after I finished The Fog. I should have stopped immediately when he said April 21st.
And just knowing.
Just knowing that this would have, but I'm still new here. This is actually one that I didn't take notes on. So I'm freeballing, but I think that there's a lot to talk about. I think also I'm interested in where it falls in our, not like a Carpenter necessarily like ranking, but like in how often we think about, I would love to do that.
Man.
How often we think about like The Fog in terms, it's such a John Carpenter movie, but it's probably the last, no, I'm sorry. Prince of Darkness would be like the most recent Carpenter classic. I don't know. He doesn't have like too many misses, but like last Carpenter that's like held in a high regard would have been Prince of Darkness Reap.
Do you, last as in most recent watch for you or most recent movie he directed?
Most recent first time watch. Gotcha. Or most recent watch, I should say. And The Fog would be immediately before that. But still, it's like one of those things that comes in later, despite it be, for me, despite it being like, I mean, it's pure. It's so like pure Carpenter that it's crazy.
I feel like the biggest compliment I can give John Carpenter in general, and I feel like this is what Kyle's also trying to say in a weird way, is like, as much as I have like a favorite John Carpenter movie, I feel like 9 times out of 10, my favorite John Carpenter movie is whichever one I happen to be watching at that exact moment.
No shit.
Now, I can't agree with that sentiment specifically, but I love the undertone, like what you're getting at. So this is only my second watch of The Fog because this movie is really fucking stupid. I like it.
But the title implies it could be so much dumber, Scott. Like, that's, like, I think that that's the thing is, like, when I first heard about this movie, I literally thought it was just Killer Fog. I was like, that's so stupid. I can't believe that there is a movie about Killer Fog. And I remember watching it, like, maybe in college. Netflix had finally entered in my life, and now, like, any movie that had not been on the shelves at my Blockbuster could be, like, in my mailbox in 2 business days. So, like, I loaded up on every Carpenter movie at that time. And I remember getting this one and kind of thinking, like, all right, this is probably going to be shit. And really being surprised how much I liked it. I liked the atmosphere. I love the music in it. I love just like, I wrote down like just the, I love the movie and the concept, but I also just love that very atmospheric opening scene, essentially, where it's just like, you're just rolling through this town and weird supernatural shit keeps happening. But
that
it's
is
like,
the
you're
best
just
part of the movie. Yeah.
Dude, and you're just meeting these random people. And I think it does a really good job of creating a bunch of characters that you actually like and care about and putting a good, like, I feel like everything that it achieves in what is essentially an 85 minute runtime is really impressive for how stupid the concept is out the gate.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I say, like, this is a really fucking stupid movie. I say that with love because I have enjoyed both times I've watched it. It is a beautifully shot film. Like, it just oozes atmosphere, like you're saying. And the soundtrack is some of his best, in my opinion. Like, it's what's so funny about The Fog is that I have been putting off discussing it on the show because it was low on my list, thinking like, you know, I didn't really love watching it in high school, but I really like the soundtrack and I like the soundtrack as an adult. Man, that it's just, it's different enough from Halloween. It's very obviously a Carpenter-esque soundtrack, you know, like it is very much his work, but it's also different enough that it just doesn't sound like he's completely aping Halloween, which is great because he took the exact same cast from Halloween and put them into The Fog, which I don't think I noticed that in high school, which is very odd.
No, they sort of like play, maybe because in Halloween it feels so much like caricatures and this doesn't necessarily feel that way, you know, like it feels like, oh no, these are people. Like Jamie Lee, like her character has is totally different, and it's also not a caricature of a hitchhiker's, like she's making choices that like you don't expect. And then the Sheriff Brackett just being this like annoying like frequent caller.
I actually, my favorite like second like tier character in the movie was definitely
he's great
as like the just a disembodied voice in the phone. And it's also really funny to me because as almost everyone who knows me knows, I love Swamp Thing. And I remember when I was a kid knowing about Swamp Thing from the TV show, the cartoon. And then my dad telling me that there was a movie. My dad knew it because Adrian Barbeau was in it. And he was like, oh, you know, like my dad had a serious crush on Adrian Barbeau.
Can't blame him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that she's objectively beautiful, but there's something about her in most movies where I'm just like, I don't know. Like, maybe it's her nose. I don't know. But her hair in this movie is untouchably good.
It's unreal.
So much conditioner in it without it being oily. Unreal. It's like, it's amazing. And
it's all the humidity in the fog.
Yeah, it is. And yeah. And I love that it bounces when she is having like a bad time. It's just such a weird, people are probably going to listen to this and be like, why are they talking about Adrienne Barbeau's hair, dude?
Hey, welcome to the horror movie night, Kyle. I heard a sound. And oh. I think you need to explain that sound.
You guys are gonna love this because we're so this leads right into what I was going to pitch here, sort of as an alternative take on the fog. But we are wandering into the fog with a Bar Nation's double IPA called Wandering Into the Fog.
Never gonna top that.
But since it's April 21st, has anybody thought that the fog is actually weed smoke from 420? Rolling in.
Nothing
it was too blatant.
Will kill you. Six must toke.
Yeah, man. And they have to get the preacher to toke. It's his fucking... He has
ultimate
to.
End. Nothing yeah. pisses off God beyond the fucking high Catholic yeah, priest.
Absolutely.
The preacher in this movie also fucking rules. There's so many points in this movie that I forgot were funny. And he gives me the hardest laugh in this whole movie... is when like the mayor and her assistant or whoever is trying to get him to help them out for the bicentennial. And they're like, so can we get you to come and do it? And he just goes, Antonio Bay has a curse on it. And her assistant goes, so are we going to take that as a no?
Like, I love it. I love it so much. Like, yeah. The movie has so much to love that even when I'm like bitching about it, like a whiny baby, I still really enjoyed my watch. Like, I just can't. There's nothing bad about this movie.
There's not, and I still don't know why it's so like down on my list. And I think it is just an entry point thing to like watching it in
mellow. It's like a mellow. Only six murders. Right. I mean, I guess 12 if you want to consider the lepers, but you only see like six murders on screen. Really, the only good murders are the first. Well, I would say the first three, but I think you only see two of them, right?
Yeah, on the ship.
Yeah.
I think you only see two. I mean, you get the gag later on with the, which is fucking just so. And I like, I know it. I know it's there, and I know, but it's just one of those scares that's like off put enough rhythmically that I always miss it. Even though like, and I know I said I only seen it twice, or I have only seen it twice, but I know that scene so much because like that's always referred to in jump scares or in like a list of stuff.
Because I've obviously all of us, I've probably seen it the most out of all of us, and even then it's maybe because I saw it three times as opposed to two.
Right.
I always forget this ending scene is from this movie because like the shot of the priest holding the glowing cross with like the fog monster holding onto it, I've seen that in a million different things. I've seen it as like a GIF. I've seen it in like compilation videos, and I always forget it's the fog that it comes from. It's a beautifully like framed out sequence.
Yeah. God, this film's gorgeous.
Dude, the kill of the weatherman that's like calling into Adrienne Barbeau's radio station, and she's like, don't go to the door. Like that one, you do get like a nice hook into the neck sequence. And Kyle, if you're wondering why this one ranks so low, it's because like John Carpenter, I'm looking at this Wikipedia page, just like the most fucking insane run of movies.
Yeah, it's unreal.
So if we remove the TV movies for just a second.
Why would you remove Elvis? You bastard.
We got Halloween, then The Fog, then Escape from New York, then The Thing, then Christine, Starman, Big Trouble in Little China, Prince of Darkness, They Live, Memoirs of an Invisible Man, In the Mouth of Madness. Like, there's one little bump in the road
Christine
there.
Christine is definitely coming.
Like, that is like right up there with what I consider the greatest streak of any director, which is like Rob Reiner's like first seven movies.
Sure.
Like it's just like this is an incredible run of films released in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. You're correct. You can't add any more to that.
I feel like you're like I'm trying to add to the conversation, but nothing comes out right. So I'm just gonna say
Yeah, no, that's correct right now.
I'll throw a conversation piece out there because I realize that this is a trope that I hate, and I realized watching this movie, but it's always been a trope that I hate. How do we feel about random movie, like random quote opening up the movie on the screen before anything happens?
I think that I've seen it where it's real bad, and I wish I had an example off the top of my head, but I know that I've seen it. I've been like, the fuck are they telling me? Like, yeah, what are they telling me to do? Fuck you, just say to me.
They gave us some Edgar Allan Poe quote about dreams, and I'm like, what the fuck does this have to do about a bunch of killer ghosts getting vengeance in a fog? Like, why is this here?
Yeah, ain't nobody dreaming. This is real. This is real life.
The only other real note that I had that I'd like to bring up is that, like, has there ever been an actor who portrayed more characters who wound up in bed 24 hours after meeting the female lead of the movie than Tom Atkins?
You know, and it's so funny. You're right. And it's, he hates that is what people remember about him, you know, like he just absolutely despises it. But the thing is that you can't fault his character in this because hitchhiking was kind of like the Tinder of the 1970s.
Like it's, yeah, I was thinking about it because, I mean, I won't say any examples because I don't want to take anyone's double features, but like I can think of at least three films where it's like
just Tom Atkins.
Yeah. Where just Tom Atkins meets a female character and within, mm-hmm, I would say a 24-hour period, there is a shot of them laying in bed just being flirty with each other.
You know what's so funny, though, is that so many, I mean, disregard Tom Atkins for a second and just think about movies that Matt loves and how many times this trope occurs. And he's bitching about an intro quote and not people banging a couple hours after they just get thrown together, you know, and we've discussed them on the show and Matt's been like, that's so unrealistic, I wish that happened to me.
just once.
Well, see, I say that about quotes being told to me before somebody goes into a story. I wish you would I wish people would preface this.
Like, Kyle, I've got a great story to tell you, but first let me tell you out of context when Dumbledore said to Harry Potter that no one's truly gone so long as they live within our memories. Anyway, so this is the story about the time I was boning this chick, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And with that, can we talk about the greatest line of the movie? Mom, can I have a stomach pounder and a Coke?
Yes.
After lunch, honey.
I did so much research to try and find out what a stomach pounder was, only to find myself on a message board discussion, multiple of them, that said that stomach pounders are nothing. Yeah. John Carpenter was just like, I just thought it sounded cool.
Dude, you know what? John Carpenter is just fucking, he is swinging for the fences. Dude, I mean, he just knew his voice and style so early.
I've said it a million times. John Carpenter exclusively made movies for an audience of one. And that was John Carpenter.
John Carpenter.
And if other people liked it, he was fine with it. If he made Ghosts of Mars and no one liked it except for John Carpenter, John Carpenter was still fine with it.
Y'all have watched Ghosts of Mars on this show, right?
No.
Well, not for the show.
Nah, well, it's not anywhere near my pick, but it is interesting. I figured you guys might have watched it at some point.
I would say a shockingly limited number of John Carpenter movies for this show. When I'm looking at this list, we've done Prince of Darkness and In the Mouth of Madness. And
oh, no so shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I gotta say, though, that rewatching Prince of Darkness and The Fog for the show have given them new life in my mind as far as how much I appreciate them, because I saw them both for the first time, I want to say in high school. I didn't really particularly like either of them that much, like enough to truly go back and watch them a significant amount without obviously the goading of this show and thinking like, oh, that'll be a good episode. But they're both stupid and very pretty and very fun. But you have to turn your brain off. And I think that that's kind of something that I forget about John Carpenter, is that he makes good movies that are kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's totally fine.
No, I think that's great. Yeah.
I mean, we're all aware this movie takes place on April 21st. We're totally aware of it. But this movie really works as a Halloween time movie. Like, there's something about the setting and the way it's shot that I'm like, I would feel perfectly fine adding this into like the October rotation.
It's
like
the seasonal transition. It's the New England. It's like, it's,
yeah, I get. Well, it doesn't feel like New England. England, they're in Oregon.
It's not, but it feels that way. Like, it, you know, being, I guess being coastal, I guess I associate with New England, but it doesn't, but it, you're right. I mean, it does read Pacific Northwest. It is. I connect to it on that level. And I think that's why I always think seasonal fall too. And it's the transition. It's the seasonal transition for sure. It's like you still get that chill. You know, when the wind's fucking whipping when she's walking down those stairs to the lighthouse, that first shot, which is massive. Like, the stairs are insane. And you just get that chill and there is a haunt coming. Like, so it does read Halloween in a lot of ways.
Yeah, like, I just, you know, not every movie that you watch in the month of October has to take place in October, and that's all I'm saying is...
Don't tell me how to live my life.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, Scott has something to say.
Like, I think that this just... John Carpenter, in general, makes a lot of movies that really fit into that October to April time of the year, for sure. Because, like,
When has he ever made a summer movie, you know?
Yeah, I guess like the closest would be like, I guess Christine ends around graduation time, maybe, but like.
I thought that was a prom movie. I would consider that a spring movie.
That's like May.
Wait, you said fall and then May.
Spring. Sorry, spring and May.
I just want to make sure that we're talking about
the same season, same month.
Same deal. What, you don't have your prom in September?
Second week of school? Year?
Guys, I changed my mind. We're not going to talk about The Fog. We're going to talk about Christine because it's almost prom time.
I'm actually surprised Christine's not been talked about on this show because I also feel that falls in line a little bit with The Fog for me, though I have more of an appreciation of it now. That movie is fucking incredible.
Christine's
incredible.
I've seen one time in high school and I did not enjoy it. So
yeah, I think the pacing of Christine is not problematic, but it ain't 85 minutes like The Fog.
I have a feeling, because I'm kind of with Scott, I watched Christine one time around college. I literally finished the book and then rented the movie. But I have a feeling, I've listened to so many podcasts discuss how impressive a movie Christine is now watching it later, that I feel like if we were to do it for the show, again, like I said, I'd walk away and be like, oh no, maybe this is now my favorite John Carpenter movie.
I felt that. We did that with the Director Out of a Hat series that I've referenced here before, when we were doing it properly and not around having a child and life, when we were able to sit down and watch movies. Like, we did John Carpenter, and I think I'll have to ask Carly again. I'm going to text her while we're on the show, and hopefully she'll text back what her favorite John Carpenter is. I think it's Christine. I think she chose Christine.
Do we need to have a guest for Christine? Do we need to have your wife on?
She hates podcasts. She fucking hates podcasts. She was like, I'll never listen to your podcast, Kyle. Three white men talking about movies. Please, like, do not.
Listen, I know.
The only thing we can do is be as inclusive as three white guys talking about horror movies can possibly be.
I don't know anyone more in tune with their feelings than three of us.
I've met Kyle a handful of times prior to, like, horror movie night. You know, like, we've talked about bumping into each other. He drove and picked me up to go wander around California and look at Halloween sets. We were
John
like,
Carpenter.
Oh, this is... But, like, when Kyle decided to come join us for Monster Mania, and the entire weekend he just wore drag queen tank tops, I was like, Kyle is our people. Like, Kyle is so our people. He had that same kind of attitude of, like, all right, we're going to a place where there's going to be a nice mix of people like us and some of the most toxic pieces of shit possible. So let's make sure that everyone gets a very clear idea that they don't want to come over to this table if they are very toxic douchebags.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to vet them somehow. Yeah, you got to fucking. Yeah. This is why I love you guys. And I'm so happy to be a part of it because of that, too. One of the many reasons.
It's so funny to me. Every week that we have you on now, ever since you were on American Gothic, it just feels like you've been on every episode. And so I have to keep reminding myself that you haven't.
No.
Because it feels like...
Yo, but the list of guest spots is way more than I thought before joining this, like, full time too. So I get it.
Yeah, you were on like 10 episodes probably.
Yeah. But yes, it feels like home, and I appreciate it.
I think now that we've been a firm 10 minutes into a circle jerk, that's usually a pretty solid hint that we've ran out of things to talk about with The Fog.
One last thing. We haven't talked about the budget. They made $21 million on a $1.1 million budget, which is insane.
That's that John Carpenter power, dude. He knows how to do a lot with a little.
Yeah.
Scott, have you ever done a console crash for the Fog score?
It has not come up. You know, I'm so bound to my
themes.
Like every console crash EP has to have a theme, and the Fog just hasn't come into the themes yet.
I got a proposal for you, Scott.
What should six be, Matt?
Guitar Pender.
Oh my God.
You know, Matt, you say a lot of dumb shit, but that was real good.
Oh, well, thanks for listening, everybody. That was Horror Movie Night. We don't need to do the other two.
Bye.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
We're making an ad.
Napping ad.
This is where I think if we're doing it right, Alec Baldwin comes in. He says a couple things. Mm-hmm. He listens to the podcast every week. Yep. Has he been canceled? Was Alec Baldwin the one who killed somebody? I hear that Gary Sinise is free.
Oh, okay, great.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
So what would be the script that we would have Gary Sinise say for the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast?
Listen to this damn show. Damn it.
The Napping Through Happy Hour podcast brought to you by Geekscape.
Real life, real drama, real time.
I'm Gary Sinise.
That's the ad. That's the ad. That's the ad.
Hailing from the Garretscape, welcome one and all to Masters of the Media. In a land of pop culture podcasts, I, filmmaker Garrett Briones, and my quote-unquote co-host Jack Watson look at the why of the stories we love and figure out why they connect with us. The show is all about loving the media you love and appreciating the underappreciated. It's a celebration of storytelling and also two pals making each other laugh at random impressions and the silliest things you can imagine. You can find Masters in the Media on all your favorite podcatchers and right here on the Geekscape Network. We hope to see you all on the Garretscape.
Scott.
Yes.
You're at a video store. You've grabbed the Fog. What else are you grabbing?
I am actually not at a video store. I am on Shudder. I am going to queue up the Fog, and then I'm going to follow it with The Beach House from 2020. Was that 2020 when that came out?
Okay. Yeah, it's either 2019 or 2020. Yeah,
I think that it was on Shudder in 2020, but mm-hmm. It probably was released in 2019. I love that movie. Super great. I mentioned that in my favorite Lovecraftian movies because that's a great Lovecraftian flick.
Now, okay, so I'll have to write that down as one to see. Anyway, I had a choice in my brain that I thought for sure you were going to go with, so I'm going to defer to Kyle because I have two to choose from.
This one I had a lot of trouble with. I think just because Adrian Barbeau and tone being completely different, I would pair it with Creepshow. Like, I just think that, I mean, I guess, I don't know, it's just a lot of horror masters, but in their own different voices and interests. Like, I and you end with the crate and age. No, I'm sorry, you don't end with the crate. Forgive me.
You end with the
cockroach one.
Cockroaches, so
you
can turn, but still.
You can turn that shit off after the game, in my opinion. But
I don't know. I think that, like, A, picture The Fog, B, picture Creepshow, just I
and
just like the vibe.
And two really good scores.
Two back-to-back. Incredible really scores. Good. The pace, I mean, The Fog is not long, and then Creepshow is an anthology, so it goes by quick. It's just, like, I just think that it's the move.
I love it.
All right, so neither one of my two choices got picked by either one of you. They're also admittedly two films that get picked an overwhelming amount of time on this podcast when it comes time for double features. So the one that I'm not going to go with, but was sitting in my head as a plan B, was obviously the other extremely famous Tom Atkins bedding a woman as pretty much as soon as he meets her, Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. But Scott, I was shocked that you watched a movie that involved a radio DJ and didn't immediately be like, perfect time to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 if I've ever seen one.
that was my second, and I forgot about it because it was my first at the time of viewing, and then I was like, nah, man, like I'm vibing Creepshow. Texas Chainsaw 2, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's the one. They both have such a similar
tone. And I don't
tone.
Like that movie, but like, I mean, I it's fine.
Whoa. Okay, I just want to remind listeners.
Tell them now.
Insisted on being on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 4 for how much he likes that movie.
Oh, that's right, you son of a bitch.
And now he's just sitting here being like, I'm kind of lukewarm to TCM 2.
Look, I shouldn't say I don't hate it. I don't even really like dislike it. I just like the first half of the movie so much more than the second.
I've said this before, but the second half of the movie is literally what Rob Zombie just was like, that's going to be all of House of a Thousand Corpses, is the whole third act.
Yeah, yeah, you know, too. Like, but I love, I mean, I think I could say I've seen the first half way more than I've like watched the entire movie, and I've gone back for like different scenes to watch. Like, I think Stretch is such a great character. The introduction of Chop Top's great. The first kill, like the road rage slash,
it's
fucking incredible. And I love that soundtrack. Anyway, I don't like the movie.
Okay, that's fine. We'll forgive that. Scott, what have you been watching, reading, listening to, etc., that you want to give a quick shout out to?
So I'm going to get back on my movie watching bullshit. And I got, well, first of all, I know this is way, way late, but I just was talking about other stuff the last month and a half on the show. But I did watch Hellbender right after it. Matt did a great interview with the creators, and that is probably my favorite movie of the year right now. Like, my favorite horror movie, just because it's like ultra low budget, but they did so many great things with nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really well paced. It's witches, so of course it's my shit. It's well acted. It feels natural, you know, like, especially for, I think that that's what an ultra shoestring indie lives and dies by, is how natural the actors feel, because that's really going to be, you can't gloss it over with, you know, CGI or creature feature effects and things like that. And it's just really, really great. I highly recommend anybody watch it on Shudder. If you have not, follow the Addams Family Films on social media. Super, super cool people. And if you haven't listened to it, listen to Matt's interview with them. But the other thing I wanted to point out was that the art house cinema in my city usually does kind of like foreign dramas. But they posted about the wildest movie that I could imagine. And I was like, well, I'm not going to go see it in the theater. I'm not going to pay for that because that looks absolutely stupid. But I wonder if it's free on YouTube. And I found it on YouTube and I watched it, and I'm so glad I watched it for free. But it is such a Kyle and Brian movie. Have you guys, I know Brian isn't here to defend himself, but I can just tell everybody that Brian would love it because it's 70s Ozploitation. It's called Stunt Rock. Kyle, have you heard of this movie?
I have heard of Stunt Rock, yes. I have not seen it, but I have not seen it yet. I'm very interested. I remember I've seen it in a trailer compilation. Please tell me more. Tell me more.
There's not much to tell because it's not really a movie. It's like this quasi-documentary about this Australian stuntman, a real stuntman, who comes to LA to do stunts for a TV show, which is basically like The Bionic Woman or something like that. It's like mid-70s. I was not feeling watching it when I read the synopsis until it said it's interspersed with all these performances by the band Sorcery. And Sorcery did all the music for the original music for Rocktober Blood, which which I picked for Halloween October a couple years back.
Fuck.
They are the ugliest dudes. It's incredible how ugly they were. And it's just so funny because in the mid 70s, they were still kind of doing more psychedelia and jam band type stuff. And so I didn't really know about their material pre Rocktober Blood. But you can hear kind of like the through line of what they were eventually doing with like songs like I'm Back and Rainbow Eyes and things like that. And it was very long. I feel like it was an hour and 45 minutes that lasted 3 days. because it's just really bad acting because he's a stuntman. And then it's interspersed with basically like shots of him doing stunts and world record type stunts and, you know, like all this, and then Sorcery playing live. I highly recommend anybody that likes Ozploitation or kind of cheesy 70s stuff or you know, anything that I mentioned. Like if you like shitty 70s rock and roll too, like hard rock, it's definitely going to be up your alley. It's not something that I would ever watch again, but it was a quick and easy way to make some time pass while I was doing real work at my desk. So yeah, that's stunt rock for you.
That all sounds right. Exactly what I want in everything. I'm such a sucker for movies with full songs played throughout by a band within the film.
You will be so tired of Sorcery by the end. The last half hour is just Sorcery, and I'm like, these songs are so boring.
So I have to. Bouncing off of that, and then I want to go to Kyle for his stuff, and then I'll actually say my stuff. But our friends at Fright School they did an episode on Studio 666, and like Joshua was like, I am blissfully ignorant to heavy metal horror, and I was like, well, here's a list of movies that I'm pretty sure Studio 666 was pulling inspiration from. So they decided to turn it into like the semester that they're doing of the podcast.
Thank God, dude. Yes.
And listening to Joe have zero tolerance for movies like Phantom of the Paradise and Rock and Roll Nightmare has been the most both frustrating and hilarious shit to listen to for me.
That's incredible.
I want to continue to love him, and so I'm going to skip that semester.
Yeah. But anyway, Kyle, what do you got for us to promote?
So I just want to report back that Carly did say that she goes, oh shit, maybe Christine. I loved In the Mouth of Madness, though. I did love Christine, to be honest. So those are four separate texts.
We'll say Christine. I think that's fair.
But I think that she might fall into the same thing where it's like the one that she's watching might be
the one.
Might be the one. And it's not just white dude horror fans, that it might be white women horror fans that also feel that way. But I posted in the Facebook group about Woodlands Dark and Something Bewitched, a title I will never fucking get right.
It's almost as long as the runtime of that documentary.
Yes, correct. Woodlands Dark and Days Bewitched. I won't speak too much on it because I watched it about a month or two ago now, but I'm starting to get into the box set that Severn released. And it's just an amazing, they call it a compendium. Yeah. So to that documentary. And it truly is. It's incredible. Highly recommend the doc. I want to mention that I read. So remember when I like first came on the show and was like, oh great, I get to read at night because you know, Hunter's breastfeeding and I need something to do, and I've been getting through books, and that has stopped. That doesn't happen anymore. He does not. He's dropped his nighttime feeding. There's no room for me to read. But
tell him to go to fucking sleep.
Yeah. See, the thing is, he sleeps, so then I sleep the whole way through, and then there's no reading gets done. Yeah. But I did pick up a book called Things Have Gotten Worse Since We Last Spoke by Eric LaRocca. And I picked it up on a whim just due to the cover art. I mean, if anybody's listening to this and cares, look it up. It's a really beautiful artwork, but it's also a really short read. And it's done so in the format of, well, it's proposed to do so in the format of emails and instant messenger. So it's a really quick read. If you think about it that way, I should have got the page count before I came on here, but it's really interesting. It's a little novella done so between two women who meet in a queer forum in the year 2000. sounds like a great setup. None of that really plays out. It feels like the novella is almost too short for its own good. There's some really like disturbing and depraved, frankly, imagery that like is talked about, but it feels like the setup for those conversations isn't quite there. However, it's really fucking kind of gross and skeeves me out, and it stuck with me after like maybe a week of having finished it. I still think about a lot of the stuff that was said in there. If you like getting a little uncomfy but don't mind a little weird format in doing so, I would seek it out. I can't say that it's good. I think it's polarizing. It's probably really polarizing. I think that's the best way to say it.
That cover is beautiful, though. I just Googled.
Cover art is gorgeous. And the idea is interesting. And I think if you can manage to submerge yourself more than the writer submerges you in that world, then you can make it happen. But I had, I read a couple pages at a time, and then I'd have to go be a dad. You know what I mean? So I didn't like just sit down and read it and really like submerge myself in that experience. I think if you did, it would really get to you.
So I'm going to talk about two podcasts. Shocking, really. We Know Podcasting Boys, we're at it again. You think that we have enough podcasts, but you're damn wrong. So both of us have a new podcast. I have a new podcast out with Matthew from Wheatus called Weird Algorithm, in which we are working our way through Weird Al's entire catalog, by track, and we're going to determine what his best parody, best original song, best polka, best music video, and best album were. So join us on that journey. The first like 13 episodes is just going to be Matthew and I, but then after that we are planning to bring on guests who want to talk about like their favorite Weird Al song with us. So it should be a really, really good fun time.
Tell me about it. That was my first concert, as was for many people, I'm sure.
It has to be downhill from there. How do you go up from that show?
I don't know.
And then Chris from We Know Podcasting has also launched a new podcast called A Band Called Punchline, which will be an audio docu-series about the history of the band. Easily the best thing that Chris has ever edited. He has so much Foley work going on in the background where it's like, the whole time that the members are talking about like meeting in high school, it's like the sounds of a school in the background and like chairs moving. That's and like cool. A teacher in the back. Like, he put a lot of work to really like put layers into this. So that should be a really, I think it's going to be a really fun time. Even if you never heard Punchline, check that shit out. And that was The Fog from 1980. Come back next week for even more horror movie night goodness. Also hit up our Patreon, patreon.com/HMN podcast. If you sign up for our Patreon, you'll get to be part of our Slack, which is always bumping with a couple people chatting about whatever the fuck is happening in their lives and in horror. It is a great place to be. Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while, because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
We're making an ad.
Napping ad.
This is where I think if we're doing it right, Alec Baldwin comes in. He says a couple things. Mm-hmm. He listens to the podcast every week. Yep. Has he been canceled? Was Alec Baldwin the one who killed somebody? I hear that Gary Sinise is free.
Oh, okay, great.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
So what would be the script that we would have Gary Sinise say for the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast?
Listen to this damn show. Damn it.
The Napping Through Happy Hour podcast brought to you by Geekscape.
Real life, real drama, real time.
I'm Gary Sinise.
That's the ad. That's the ad.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.